Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. This is number 48. Lee probably got something for you to let y'all know what's number 48 in relevance to, so I'm going to let him kick that off. And other than that, I hope everybody's had a good day and off to a good night, and that everybody's in good health. So let's get into some positivity right here. Lee, what's going on, bro? Kick it off.
Hey, yo, what's going on? What's going on? Another day, another way. You know, glad to be back in, be back on the show. Been a little minute. So what's going on?
Yeah, you know, Lee was out there. He was out in Maui. He said he was like... Hey, the man sent me a picture, y'all. He was like out there snorkeling with dolphins and stuff. So that was crazy. He said that he was out there. He said they went out to like a turtle haven. They had like tortoises. There was a turtle and a tortoise. But yeah, they had a bunch of turtle haven. They had Turtle Haven Island over there. Lee was snorkeling with him. He said he seen a couple of stingrays over there. He didn't give you the full details on the trip, but he was vacationing, y'all. It's all good. The listeners knew the last time that he was a vacationer, though, but that he was coming back strong.
Boy, I wish I was on vacation, but you know, that's far from the truth. But I'm back. So what's going on, man? Oh, just to our audience, we was going to jump on yesterday, have a show yesterday. But both me and Keys were going through power outages yesterday. Kind of weird, but, you know, we're here today. So long as you're here, and we're about to get into it, you know, like we always do. Yo, who on the line with us tonight?
Oh, yeah. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yo, what's good, Lee?
Hey, what's good, man? How goes?
What's good?
Hey,
it's pretty good,
I know his voice.
We got something to talk about. We got something to talk about, bro. I've been waiting for this since Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Where you going? He got quiet fast.
Yo, Keys. Yeah, man. So I don't know. Maybe Keys might be having some technical difficulties, but hey, but check this out, bro, real quick. What you think about Extreme Rules, man?
Thank you. Now you did a great transition to what we got to talk about. Thank you so much, Lee. You set it up for me perfectly. Let's talk about this. The recap that I saw, Extreme Rules isn't trash like everybody was saying, but it actually seems okay. Sin Cara versus Andrade, the rematch was cool. It wasn't better than the SmackDown match, but it was cool. Mickey James versus Alexa was pretty good, entertaining. It wasn't great, but it was entertaining. A couple other matches I can't think of at the moment was eh. I actually enjoyed Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. That was like an actual good match. And Dolphin Drew it was looking like a pretty good Dolphin Drew. Seth and Dolph looked like a pretty good match. It makes Dolph look bad, personally, in my personal opinion, because WWE's already given us the picture of Dolph being a loser, and every time he does win, he always had that extra hand. Like we've been seeing this for years. You remember Vic Guerrero? Remember when he won World Heavyweight Championship? He had to mess with Alberto Del Rio, his knee when he got hurt, when he cashed it in, like, et cetera.
Yeah.
We're already getting that picture that he looks like a loser. It makes it worse that, one, Seth was already up 3-0. But right when Drew got involved and took Seth Rollins out, not only did he get tied, he took the lead. And then he got tied again at the end of the count. And then when Kurt Angle said, restart the match, immediately Drew came back in, caused distraction, and Dolph won. It was like, goodness. Like, Dolph is talented. I've been watching Dolph for a long time. I enjoy watching
Dolph.
But it's like, feels like he always needs that extra hand, and it makes him seem like a loser, that he can't win anything.
But you got to keep in mind, though, the thing about being a heel is a heel is supposed to be like taking shortcuts, you know, doing underhanded. Actually, he's playing his role as a heel real good right now. I like Dolph as a heel versus Dolph as a good guy. So, I think the match of the night was Rusev and was AJ Styles.
Oh,
man. I think that was the match of the night.
I forgot about that. That was a
good
match, too. But
I think they should have let Rusev go over in that match. I think they should have let him win. I mean, you can always put AJ Styles. Yeah, actually, I was too, because his gimmick is so over that it's like, yo, man, that Rusev Day thing is crazy right now. And I think they should have let him go over. And then AJ Styles, you know, you probably have AJ Styles feud with, you know, probably Andrade Ciamas. Andrade Ciamas, like they did
their
Thursday.
Match on SmackDown was dope.
And,
that was dope.
Yeah,
that match was dope on Tuesday.
I think they need to get the belt off of AJ, man, and let somebody else hold the belt and let AJ just have a natural feud with somebody for like a couple months, and then maybe have AJ Styles win Royal Rumble and then main event WrestleMania again. I really don't know which direction they're going, but I like the Rusev AJ Styles match.
Go ahead.
Hold on,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, man, I'm so excited, man. It's red. I get to talk with you, man. Go ahead. Keep going. My bad.
Another thing, man, that I've been reading about is WWE want to do an all-female event. What you think about that?
I actually think that'd be pretty good, because if we're being honest, the female division has been stepping up tremendously. With Sasha,
yeah.
I personally feel that they handled that Sasha and Bayley feud very wrong, because every time those two do go against each other, it's a very entertaining match. I'm still mad that the Riot Squad ruined that match on WWE Shakedown. I thought it sucked that it ended like that. And then with Kurt threatening Bayley and Sasha, if those two don't get along, he's gonna trade them to one of them to SmackDown because they work well together. The problem is, Kurt, that doesn't matter because there's no female tag team division. So what sense does that make?
Exactly. That's where I was going to, because that's the only thing that's missing. They need to have a female tag team, and it's like, I think if they come up with
like
a female tag team,
just like TNA,
like they need to have a female tag team, or you got to have another secondary belt, like maybe a TV belt or something for the woman. But they really don't know how to. I know what it is. Vince really don't want. He really don't like the women's division too much. Just like he really don't care for the 205. For the women, I think they do need to have their own show. Basically, you could put it on WWE Network, you know, let them have their own pay-per-view. Not their own pay-per-view, but, you know, let them have their own show.
Possibly, I think
it would
be dope to get their
tag team. Yeah. Maybe have a tag team tournament, you know, bring the girls in from NXT. But I do think this is going to happen. I think at WrestleMania you're going to have Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, and Bayley go against Ronda, Baszler, and the Four Horsemen. I think that match will happen. I don't know whether or not it's going to happen at WrestleMania, but I think it will happen down the road because Baszler is just turning up in NXT, and, you know, Ronda just a natural badass, and I think they're just bringing their other two friends, you know, just to so you can have a four-on-four. And I think if they – actually, that would be a good match for Survivor Series, actually. But I think it's going to be on a big stage instead of Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think that definitely be a good matchup. And I am very excited. I'm definitely excited to see Ronda versus Alexa Bliss. Real quick, before I really get to the subject that I really want to talk about, how do you feel about Alexa and Braun being the Money in the Bank winners, let alone Alexa being champion again?
I think the thing was it was smart of them to actually – I think it was kind of smart for them to have her cash in during the pay-per-view because you never saw that coming. Mm-hmm. But I think Ronda getting a title push so early doesn't sit well with me. I think she needs to, like, earn her stripes like everybody else. I mean, I know she a good draw and everything, but she needs to earn her stripes and work her way through. I think they should have had her – feud with Mickie James first. You know, you have her feud with Mickie James because Mickie James is a veteran. She's proven, you know, she know her way in and out the ring. And then you probably have her and Natty tag up to go against Mickie James and Alexa Bliss and maybe have, you know, then you go with the Ronda Alexa Bliss storyline. But, yeah, man, well, let's get into what y'all want to talk about, man.
All right. So Sunday, right before I got on the show, I don't have the WWE Network, but I was on Twitter getting the updates, and so happened that I checked on my phone, and I saw Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns. I said, "Wait, seriously?" I lost my freaking mind, yelling "Black Excellence" through the entire house. I was so excited.
I know. I saw that tweet.
Right. I yelled that for the rest of the night. Like, seriously, I seriously did because I was so happy. I don't care if he's a Trump supporter or not. This is great. And I don't want to make this a race thing. But if we're being honest, besides The Rock, maybe Book, if we're also including the World Heavyweight Championship as well as far as big WWE titles, Mark Henry and Booker T, We had never really had like a black champion, and the African American men that were like potentials. For example, Kofi Kingston, Big E, a few others I can't think of at the moment. Those guys were booked poorly. Like Kofi Kingston went to war with Randy Orton in a feud in 2009, 2010, but somehow he's not even in an actual number one contenders match. And at one time he did, they got screwed over. Even though I understand it's entertainment's part of a storyline, still, it's only so many Intercontinental Championships, United States Championships, and Tag Team Championships you can win. After a while, it's like, all right, dog, when can I get my big shot? And not like the fans didn't like him before the New Day gimmick. People was yelling boom, boom, boom all the time. You heard the crowd participation every time Kofi did a signature move and a finishing move. And actually with Kofi. There's a few others I can't think of at the moment. But there's so many chance opportunities. But go ahead. What's one thing?
Let me interrupt real quick. And then they do a bad job. They always put Kofi in like Money in the Bank, ladder matches, you know, stuff where with his high flying act, that's the only time they really utilize him. And I think another guy that they definitely ain't using right is Shelton Benjamin, man. Shelton Benjamin is a beast.
Back. Oh my God, Shelton
Benjamin's a
beast. I watched him on SmackDown. I didn't know about Shelton, but I watched him on SmackDown against Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy back to back, and had a really good match with both of them. Despite losing, he helped them put on the show. Shelton need to get some more respect.
Yo, my bad, y'all.
I love Shelton. Jeff. Yo, Keith, welcome back, buddy. How you feeling?
Yo, my bad, y'all. I had to go take care of something. I had to put the phone down a few minutes ago, take care of something. But I'm back. I heard y'all talking about Shelton Benjamin. That's my boy. I remember him from way back. He was on Team Angle back like 2003. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And actually, man,
didn't he beat Triple H?
What, bring Team Angle back?
I think Team Angle beat Triple H and I think they beat Road Dogg and Billy Badass, I think.
Okay.
They had Charlie Haas too, right? Was Charlie Haas part of that?
Hell yeah. Charlie can go too, man. Him and Benjamin, man. That's what I thought they was gonna do. I thought they was gonna bring Shelton in first, and then they probably was gonna bring Charlie Haas in. I thought they was gonna put Shelton on on Raw and then bring Charlie back, but they kinda like went in a different direction. I really don't think they know what to do with Shelton Benjamin. So
they
don't
do
like
a lot,
Shelton Benjamin, man. I like Shelton Benjamin. I'm tired of the New Day gimmick. I think it's time to break them up. Yeah, they got a good little gimmick. But damn, what was going on, like year five or something, like three, four? It seemed like it's been forever.
I think so.
But
and it sucks because all three of these guys have talent, even Woods, Mike skills and ring skills. It's hard to not like these guys. And I'm not talking about together. I'm talking about separately as well. So it's like, well, damn, dog. Like, how many tag team titles can these guys get? It's to the point you guys had them hosting WrestleMania last year because y'all don't know what to do with these guys. Ed Knight was just there, even though I went with the black championship angle. Like, it's a lot of them. Like I told Keys, they're not using Finn Balor right. They're barely using Braun Strowman right. They're not using Kevin Owens that well. They use Kevin Owens as a test dummy, a crash dummy with Braun Strowman.
For Braun Strowman,
That horrible beef with Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley, that entire feud
terrible
was trash. They don't know how to use some of these talents, and it seemed like it's more on Raw than SmackDown.
All right, let me throw some ideas out at you. Okay,
let's go.
And we know Bobby Lashley is going against Roman Reigns next week. So, I think.
Yep.
Man, I think Lashley.
Stupid idea.
I think WWE wants Lashley to win. But with them having that big TV deal coming up in 2019, I think Roman Reigns goes to SmackDown. I think Roman Reigns goes to SmackDown. I think Dean Ambrose comes back and he goes to SmackDown. But I think also what's gonna happen on Raw is Braun Strowman is going to end up winning the championship. We already know that. Now, who he's going to win the belt from, is it going to be Lashley, or is he going to beat Brock Lesnar? But I think Lesnar definitely coming off the belt. But I think WWE needs to start on Raw. Start focusing on your young guys, man. Start putting the young guys in more matches. Have a main event. More
NXT
matches.
Is showing
up. Yeah, because even like when me and Keys talk about UFC, my whole thing is new blood, man. You can't keep promoting these old guys. Man, start having these young guys main event Raw. You know, how some of the young, I mean, like they not using Bobby Roode, right? I mean, Elias is over like crazy. This little BS
Elias.
They got with Matt Hardy and
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt, that's corny. The B team is corny. Man, they don't know what to do with the Authors of Pain. And I think SmackDown need to have more six-man tag matches. Now they got Sanity, New Day, You probably can put AJ Styles
and that's a
back
pretty
with
good
Anderson and Gallows. Yeah, you can put Anderson and Gallows and AJ Styles back together.
And Lee, you know it's another problem, and I was stressing this to Keys too on Sunday. Brock Lesnar need either way, whoever takes it from Brock, it needs to happen soon, because it seems like he's not helping make that title relevant. It's almost like you pretty much forget that title. Seth Rollins has made the Intercontinental Championship way more relevant than Brock Lesnar has done with the Universal Championship, because he's barely there.
Yeah, I totally
compare
agree.
That to AJ Styles, whether or not he's holding the title too long or not, he's still doing a great job making the title relevant. You can see that. You can see that huge difference.
Go ahead, Keys.
They give him Brock that kind of like they give him like that final boss type, you know, feel. They're trying to like wait and like, oh, okay, let me get like all these little like let me get all these storylines going and then like see who we can get to match up with this guy, because he's just they're putting him on such a high pedestal that it's like they probably can't even think of a good class for him.
But actually, they got enough big guys. You can't have Brock go against like a Finn Balor. You can't have him go against like a Finn Balor, because
that match will be entertaining.
Technically,
but
actually,
it'll be
shout out to Balor though.
Yeah, it'll be
my guys.
Balor got so
like,
much
yeah,
heart.
I
they
mean,
gotta,
it'll
they
be an entertaining match. But when you look at the size difference, you like for real. So you gotta have Brock fight either Strowman, Lashley, or Reigns, and. As a fan, I'll
no,
not Reigns. Reigns versus
not Reigns anymore. Please,
Brock.
Good God,
so,
no more Reigns.
I
love Roman.
So, but I think WWE, I think maybe this might be the time where they might have too much talent on the roster, and this might be the time where they need to put Raw on for 2 hours instead of three. It's just 3 hours is just too much, man. And SmackDown has more of a constant flow to it. It seems like SmackDown,
yes,
they had a match showing doing the commercials. You know, man, it just
yes.
has a better flow and it just ran better. I don't know, man, because NXT, to me, NXT is the best thing they got going. It's better than Raw
right.
and SmackDown.
And the Cruiserweight 205 Live isn't doing bad at all.
Yeah, I really haven't gotten to 205, but I definitely like SmackDown and I like NXT. Keys, I know you watch wrestling, man.
Yeah, you watch a little bit.
I don't watch it as much these days. But
he hates Brock Lesnar, though. He hates
him. Yeah, man, that's my least favorite guy, bro. I went on a rant with him for like 20 minutes in the last show. That's like my least favorite guy they got on there right now. And you know why he's one of my least favorite guys, Lee? You want to know why? You want to know why he's one of my least favorite guys?
Because he used
steroid cheat.
Because he used steroids?
Yeah, because he's a steroid cheat, bro. Don't get me going on the steroid cheat, bro.
I didn't know that until Keith said that. I didn't know until Keith said that.
But
I thought it was literally all
but,
muscle.
But thing is, though, is that in WWE, they can use, like, HGH and certain other things that you can't use in UFC. That's why Dana White should have never put him in that match against Mark Hunt, because there was no way he could be clean for a UFC fight by then. Because WWE has a whole different set of rules than UFC. So Dana White knew that. But he knew it was a money grab. So, you know, man, it's just, you know, that's neither here nor there, but it's just my two cents. But I do got to ask Keys one question real quick. Keys, your boy Stipe demanded an immediate rematch, and your boy Daniel Cormier said his next fight will be against Brock Lesnar. And then he would defend the light heavyweight championship belt, and then he's going to retire. Whether you say that with that, I know you got to go off on that. I need you to go off on that.
Well, look at this. Look at this. So they say now that the eye pokes in the fight were like knuckle deep. Like Cormier put like his fingers in Stipe's eyes. That's what Stipe is saying now, that it hurt. The eye poke was not like how you think of a poke. And you've seen the picture, and he's got like his whole claw in Stipe's eyes. It looks a lot worse when you have like the still picture of the moment versus when you've seen it in the fight because it was so fast. When you see in the fight, you barely see what happened. Man, Cormier is a scared little man, bro. That's what he's a scared little man. That's why you want to fight Brock Lesnar, because you want to fight this guy who you're going to have to wait a whole mess of time for, and you don't even really know if he's going to come back. So you don't even know if you're going to have to fight him or not. You want to let it fall through so then you can say you were going to fight him and you don't actually fight him. Stipe want to fight you next month, but you're scared because you don't want to fight without the eye pokes. He's a scared little man, bro. What's he going to do? Go back and fight Jones again at light heavyweight and get fucking knocked the fuck out with a leg kick, bro? Get Cormier out of here, man. I'm done with him. I ain't supporting him for one more fight, bro.
He don't like DC at all. He don't give a damn about DC. And I like John Bone Jones.
I'm done with DC, bro.
Stay off the drugs,
I supported him. I supported DC too many times, man. The way he turned around and made himself look like an ass. Now I can't support him anymore. It's done.
Well, I haven't been keeping up.
I tried somebody to keep up with you. I tried to tell you, but you weren't listening to me.
Because when I seen, look here though, when I seen him in Boston, when after the fight he won the fight, he said that he goes, I lost my last time I fought for the belt. I lost my last fight. He didn't cover it up. He said, I lost my last fight, even though on the record books it doesn't show up. But he told everybody he lost, and we know he lost. So then he said, this fight, I felt like I was fighting for the vacant title. So it wasn't like I was defending my belt. I was fighting for the title, even though they say I'm the champion. I respected that because that was like the humble standpoint. But then coming out with the way he come out with versus my guy Stipe, look at this. He was going to get DC out of there. That's where we were going here. He was going to get DC out of there. DC wasn't landing any shots until he did the damn put his fist in his eye, you know, before he had his middle finger in Stipe, inside Stipe pupil, man. Once he did that, that was when the fight changed course. DC was losing the fight up until that time. So there's no respect here. And then now running scared and saying the only two guys that you want to fight are two guys who are both steroid cheats and both of them are just ironically unavailable to fight. Oh, you're the greatest. You want to fight two guys who aren't even active and aren't even on the UFC roster. How are you the greatest?
No. He said he wants to fight Shogun Hua. He wants to fight Shogun Hua for the light heavyweight championship belt, man. Shogun ain't even, man, I was like, Shogun, really? You want to fight Shogun? Man, get the hell out of here, man.
That's easy.
Hey, but,
yeah,
see,
I didn't get to that.
That's easy one.
I saw that quick. Yeah, I saw that quick. I mean, that's like, Shogun's like at the bottom of the barrel at this point. He ain't even a contender. I don't even know if he was in the rankings. I didn't remember the last time I seen. The last time I seen Shogun Hua, I was playing as him as the default character on UFC Undisputed. That was in like 2009. I was playing on the original Xbox 360. My God, that was the first Xbox that came out. I was playing the original Xbox back when it was white.
I love my man Keys go all in. So I got to get him to go all in on one more topic. I got to get him to go in on one more topic. Keys, I don't know or not you know this. They was trying to make the fight for your boy T. Woodley versus Cubby Covington for September 8th. Covington backs out of the fight, but he's going to keep his interim belt. So now we get Tyron Woodley versus Darren Till, September 8th for Woodley's championship. Is it BS that Covington gets to keep the interim title, or is it BS that the UFC is making Tyron Woodley fight Darren Till instead of just having him wait to fight Colby Covington? 3, 2, 1, launch, Keith.
Nah, so look at this. Nah, look at this, because I gotta get my warm up punches in. I'm not really. I gotta get. You know what I mean? I gotta throw myself in the mix. So this is the thing. So the last time they had Covington, they thought he was a draw. They only sold like 150,000 pay per views. So he sucks. So that's really what we come to here. He sucks. So I don't even know why we're going this route. If nowadays the UFC is a business, why are they even keeping him with the belt when no one gives a damn about seeing him fight? The only reason I root for him versus Dos Nacho was because you were rooting for Dos Nacho, so I just had to bother you with that prediction, and that was really the only reason. And other than that, he was going to get smashed by Woodley, and Darren Till will get smashed by Woodley, so it really doesn't even matter. So either one of them guys they want to fight, they just need to line up their ass whoopings in the correct order. It doesn't matter which one goes first. You can either get Covington to go first, and he can go down, or you get the British boy to go first, and he can go down. Then Covington can go down after. So put either one, or put them in there at the same time. They are both going down. It's just a matter of time. And that's how I feel about that. And you know, I don't think it's really bullshit. I think it's kind of bullshit that they put Darren Till in there so quick, because he only really had one fight. I mean, he fought Cowboy, and that was one fight. And then he had a close fight with Wonderboy, and now he gets a title fight. I mean, it's kind of disrespectful.
Actually, Wonderboy won that fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They said he had a close fight because it was debatable. They said that a lot of people said that he actually lost, but because he was in Liverpool, that they felt like the judges just gave it to him because he was the hometown boy. That's what a lot of people were saying after the fight. Yeah, and he didn't make weight. And it was a split decision, not like he had like a finish in the second round or had like a crazy unanimous decision victory. So Darren Till,
I don't see how he won the fight and he got outlanded. Because I think Wonderboy landed more strikes than him. I think Wonderboy actually controlled the fight more than him. But I knew that you would launch on T Wood. I think Tyron is making a mistake, but I think it's good for him maybe to get a warm-up fight in. But if he loses the belt, it'll suck so bad, man, because then the next fight will be Darren Till versus Covey Covington to unite the belts. And I think that's what Covey Covington is hoping for. He's hoping that Till beats Woodley, because I still don't think he wants that work from Woodley, man.
If you look at it more technically, just think about this. Think about this. Darren Till is a pretty good striker, right? He was able to – he had the TKO of Donald Cerrone, right? So he was able to get him out of there, I think, in the second round. But Donald Cerrone also fights everybody who's a good striker, meaning that he's taken more punches than probably anybody in the UFC today. He's probably taken more punches than anybody. He also has – I'm pretty sure the most fights in the UFC than anybody. He's on like 3 or 4 cards. I feel like he's on 3 or 4 cards a year, Donald Cerrone. He just fought Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
Right? He just had the Lawler fight, and then didn't he just fight Darren Till after that? Was that after or before?
I think Till was after. No, I think Till was before. It was Till, then Lawler, and then he just fought in Thailand, I want to say about a month and a half ago.
Well, okay, so that's 4 fights off the top of my head. He fought Lawler, he fought Till, then he fought Yancy Medeiros, who he finished, and then he fought another kid right after that, and he lost. I can't remember who it was, but he fought somebody, and he just lost. So that's 4 fights off the top of my head. And I know the Lawler fight was last summer, and it's July right now. The Lawler fight was last July. So that Cerrone fought four fights in 12 months. So what I say, he fight 4 times a year, 4 times in 12 months, 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Cerrone's probably the most active UFC fighter there is. So he's taken so many blows, it's understandable when he gets finished by Darren Till, because Darren Till don't fight nobody. He fights all nobodies. He fights random people, and he's like 70-0 in kickboxing. Who has he fought? Anybody I ever heard of?
It's not about me fights. You ask who you fought.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody.
Yeah,
fought.
Man.
He fought one guy. Technically, he had one fight, and this is the thing. And now this is the question to ask. Will you ask yourself this? Can Darren Till knock out Woodley?
No.
Absolutely not. So, therefore, I don't believe he can win the fight. Because if he's going to try to back Woodley down, he forgets that Woodley's going to be backing him down, if anything. You can't back him into a corner like Wonderboy lets you do and let you follow him around the ring. Because Wonderboy likes to keep a distance anyways. But Darren Till likes to close the distance and put that pressure on you. But Woodley does the same. And even if he would have pressed Woodley into a corner, Woodley's a better wrestler than him. So is he going to stop
the
I don't know, man. Darren Till's in dangerous water with that fight, bro. It's just a matter of who wants to go first. Him and Covington, they're like two bowling pins. Woodley's going to hit off the bumper and manage to hit 2-1 for a spare.
Well, I hope he don't hit it off the bumper, because if he hit off the bumper, then I don't have no respect for his bowling game, because grown men shouldn't be using bumpers. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm with you totally about Darren Till, and I think Cubby Covington is playing this to – he's playing it perfectly, actually, because he knows that he can't beat Woodley, but he thinks he can have a better chance of beating Darren Till. So he hoping Till wins. But I think also the UFC is full of SHIT by – you know, making Woodley fight in September instead of having him wait to unify the belts. I just don't understand it, man. It makes no sense. So,
okay,
you know, man.
Real quick, because I'm not really the UFC guy. So, so basically what you guys are saying, like, they're not really all that great bookings for matches and UFC fights too much.
Well,
so,
it ain't that it ain't great bookings. It's just that sometimes the timing and the way they book the matches aren't the greatest. And
okay.
And you know, one of the things UFC has built this reputation on is the best fight the best.
Right.
And as of lately, it's been like boxing. When cats fight when they want to fight, it's kind of sort of they pick who they want to fight. And that's why I hate boxing. And that's why I hate boxing. Hey, but Keys,
well,
man.
Look at this, though. Look
but
at
Keys,
this. Look
you
at want this.
To talk about something tonight, though.
Yeah, there's something I'm going to bring up, too, but it's not on. It's off this topic. So I want to say this. Is that,
okay.
I think, because. So the one problem I have is that everybody compare everybody to McGregor, and they say Covington, you know, steal McGregor's, you know, whole marketing thing, and Kevin Lee steal McGregor's whole marketing thing, and all that. But what the big difference is with a lot of these guys, you're comparing them to McGregor because they like to talk trash and try to, you know, boost
exactly.
their ego and get the cameras on them like McGregor. But look, here's the big difference, though, is that when McGregor does it, people, like, genuinely – like, people are genuinely a fan of, like, not just him as a fighter, but a fan of his personality. The difference is with these guys is that people aren't a fan of their personality. They're just willing to watch it because there's not McGregor in front of that to, you know what I mean? Like, they're looking for something to watch. So they're just willing to eat it just because it's there. But they ain't really a fan of that fake persona you putting on. So the difference is that now Covington is coming out and saying, in an interview, he's like, oh, you know, they're asking him, well, when do you want to fight Woodley next? When's the unification fight? And he's saying, oh, well, they want me to fight in September, but, you know, I just got off a fight, you know, in June, and they want me to fight in September. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to take longer than that. They want me to fight September, October. No, I'm going to come back in November. And he's saying, you know, he holds the cards and what like that. But what he's forgetting is he's not McGregor. Like, you don't hold nothing, bro. You hold out, you know, and especially in these days when fighters are getting released now, Dana's very cutthroat. Like, if you don't accept fights, like, he's not, you don't hold nothing, man. You're holding on to your soul, bro, before you get ripped out, you get kicked to the curb, Kobe. That's the thing. Nobody's waiting for you to fight. I'm surprised they're letting him keep the interim belt because I don't think Dana's really too intrigued about that match. I mean, especially when you're being that demanding, I don't think anybody's waiting. And I'm glad, actually, that's why, I mean, it's kind of bullshit, Darren Till, but I'm glad that they're putting somebody to replace it and they're not trying to let Kobe talk like he's the boss because at the end of the day, you're only the interim champ and you don't hold the cards because you're not the champion. You're the contender. So if anything, anyone's going to hold nothing, the champion's going to hold the cards. That's the bigger draw. People want to see Woodley smash you. It ain't the opposite. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big underdog, bro. It's going to get ugly for him.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
He better just hope and pray.
But
he better just
Rod, you need to get in the UFC, bro.
Hey man, look. It's not like I have no interest in it all. It's like TV shows. It's so much to keep up with, man. You got football, basketball, wrestling. You got in UFC, you got MMA, you got boxing, then you got other shows you got to keep up with, man. Then you got music. It's only so much I can freaking keep up with, man. The last time I tried to keep up with a UFC match was John Bone Jones and DC when they had that fight back in 2004. Trust me, I am very interested. It's so much to keep up with. I'm looking at these MMA press conference fights right now, actually. Y'all got me in the mood to watch some MMA press conference fights.
It's funny because the press conference is like a big deal to watch some of these times. Like that's like a show in itself.
But Lee, trust me, I have a lot of interest in watching UFC. It's not that I have no interest. Matter of fact, send me some matches.
I got
so I can keep up with them. My man,
okay.
My man.
Now, you, Ronnie, you better say something. You got something?
Oh, no, no. I was letting y'all go because the UFC talk, man. This is a great conversation.
So,
what else y'all want to talk about, man?
Nah,
you can keep going on the UFC and wrestling topic y'all want.
So I just want to say one quick thing, Lee. I don't know if you know this, but the Vulcan was supposed to fight your boy Gustafsson in August.
Yeah,
he was supposed to fight Vulcan, and you know that fight is
he pulled
Vulcan's out of the fight, and the funny part is that fight hadn't even been announced yet, and the fight is basically off, and it hasn't even been announced yet. So what my response is to that is a big sad face over the UFC. What's that face? They need the Jordan crying face. Put that right on the UFC. That's my response because.
Damn. And that was going to be the main event.
Yeah, man, because I'm just so – it's unbelievable to me how many fights they pull out. And it's all the exciting fighters. Someone like Vulcan who, like, is just a puncher. People want to see guys like that, believe it or not. And same thing with Ngannou, but then he gets scared because Ngannou said he was scared of getting tired. And that's why he didn't fight Derek Lewis because he was scared of gassing out. So –
Well,
over the whole UFC
right
now.
Oh, my God.
Because this is just – this year
is
just terrible.
But the thing is, though – let's see, the thing is, do you really think Ozdemir will beat Gustafsson? Or did you just want to see – you were just hoping for a good fight? I mean, me, I thought Gustafsson would run through him.
Because
he really wants to fight for the belt.
No, yeah,
but
I wasn't – I mean,
the thing is, in the UFC, anybody can get caught. All you take is – you can get clipped and you out of there. So, Ozdemir do have, like, exciting fight. So, I don't know who they're going to get to replace. Ozdemir might be Jimmy Manoa or I don't even know, man, because I know Luke Rockhold don't want that work. He was talking trash, but I know he don't want to get in there with Gustafsson. I don't even know who they can replace him with, man.
They have DC fight him.
Man, DC said he ain't gonna fight till next year sometime. So
have the greatest of all time champ fight Gustafsson. because he built like that, bro. He's supposed to fight anybody, anytime. Come on now. He ain't no Stipe.
He's been running from Gustafson, though.
He ain't no Stipe, bro. Come on.
He's been running from
Gustafson,
man.
He can't fight anybody, anytime, man. You think DC would have fought Ngannou, bro? He would have pissed his pants, man, and ran home. It's so funny to me because before that event, everybody said Ngannou was going to knock Stipe's head off. And then after Stipe took his soul like Shang Tsung, okay? Like Shang Tsung, you know how you get to take the souls and he all of a sudden has your moves. Stipe took Ngannou's soul out of his body. And then once that happened, now everybody's like, oh, Ngannou, he fell off, man. Ah, Ngannou wasn't even that good. Oh, Ngannou had no cardio. That wasn't even a tough fight for Stipe. Man, where the hell was y'all at all leading up to that fight? I think I was the only one saying that Stipe was going to win the fight. Everybody was calling me crazy for saying that the champ was going to win the fight.
That is not true. I said Stipe will win because he will wrestle Ngannou. He will make Ngannou uncomfortable by putting him on the mat. And that Ngannou, as a one-trick pony, did not have enough MMA skills to beat Stipe. And Ngannou's only chance was to maybe catch him with a shot and, you know, and do some ground and pound and hopefully the ref will stop it. But I knew Stipe was going to wrestle him, man, because there was no reason for Stipe to stand and bang with that guy. So, you know, man, I think Stipe deserves an immediate rematch. I think DC is once again playing his UFC card to the fullest, you know, because,
man,
of course, he do the good. Yeah, man, he's playing his UFC card to the fullest, you know, because he do that color commentary, he do play-by-play, then he do UFC Tonight. And they know that he's an asset to the company. But at the same time, I think start looking at him as an asset and look at him as a fighter. He hasn't defended that light heavyweight championship since he beat, what's the kid's name? The one that shouldn't even been in the ring with him, actually, since he beat him. And then he already talking about he not going to fight until early next year. So, basically, he hasn't defended the light heavyweight belt in about a year.
Yeah, well, by the time he defends the heavyweight belt, it'll have been a year since he defended the light heavyweight belt.
Yep.
And he'll have been active the whole time.
Yep.
Well, that's a
all right, man.
I mean,
so,
I don't want to get too carried away because there's a lot of things I could go into, but I just want to ask you this one last thing for the UFC is. So I seen an interview and your boy TJ said that if he beats Cody in the rematch, that would make him the best bantamweight ever. What you think about that?
Oh man, these guys, man, damn! Just keep fighting, man. Let your skills dictate your place in the record books, not your mouth. The best bantamweight champion ever? Ever? I mean, me personally, I would have to go with Dominic Cruz because of how long he held the belt, and then injuries kind of sidelined his career a little bit. But I would take Dominic Cruz over TJ, man. That's just me. But if TJ keeps on winning, you know, I mean, he cleaned up Hannibal Ryle twice. You know, he beat another dude that he definitely was supposed to beat. Then he lost to Dominique Cruz. And then he beat Cody. I mean, I don't know about the greatest ever. I mean, we already know who the greatest champion in the UFC is right now, and that's Demetrius Johnson. So, you know, man. These guys like to blow their own horn, man. It is what it is. I ain't mad about it. He can say what he want to say. Just got to prove it now. So now he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to win his next fight.
Yeah, so if that's the case and he would have beat Cody, then I see there's no reason for them to fight again. So.
Exactly.
I would say his next two fights after that should definitely be. And I don't see a reason why.
Volume or Rice.
Yes, so Marlon Moraes, he has to beat him decisively. He either needs to dominate him on the cards, or he needs to finish him. He's going to be the best. Okay, and that's not even the end. And he's got to rematch Cruz, and he's got to beat him too. That one, he can get a split decision, but he's got to win. He's got to either finish Moraes and get a unanimous decision or win on the cards decisively, a convincing win, and then rematch Cruz and win that. So if he can't do those two things, then I would never consider him the best bantamweight ever. Because Cruz beat you.
Yeah.
So. Coming off an injury, Cruz beat you. So.
Even though I thought TJ won that fight, but, that's another thing that you don't let the car, you don't let the fight go to the judges. I thought TJ did enough to win that fight. I thought they gave it to Dominique because, he do a lot of dancing around and, sometimes his footwork is really good. But at the same time, he really ain't doing anything other than that. So I thought TJ had won that fight. If anything, it should have been a draw. So
didn't TJ get knocked out by your boy John Dodson?
I don't know.
Man, that's some crickets.
I don't know. I probably had to go check out the record books on that one.
I wish, like, at the press conference for this coming event, like, one of the press people would ask him that. Like, oh, TJ, you say the greatest ever. Didn't you get knocked out by John?
That'd be epic.
I wish they would ask more, like pressing questions than just asking all the general stuff or when McGregor's coming back.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, though, man. We only in July. Well, actually, July. We halfway through July already. So, the fall cards are going to be very important. I think we're going to see Conor McGregor come back this fall. I think we'll see Anderson Silva come back later in the year.
I forgot about the Conor McGregor thing, man.
Yeah, I think Conor McGregor will be back later this year. I think Nick and Nate Diaz will probably be back later this year. I think John Jones will be back early next year. I think Stipe will probably be back later this year, too. So, we got a lot of fights. And then, of course, we got the Cyborg Nunez fight, which, I think it is what it is. I think the people want to see it. But I really don't care about it too much. I think they just need to come up with a 140 division. Get rid of the 145 and 135 division. I think you'll get more exciting fights that way. But I'm not the commissioner, so we'll see what happens, man. We're talking about wrestling and UFC tonight. That's what's up.
I just want to confirm this last point, and I'll jump into what I really wanted to ask you. But Dillashaw did get finished by John Dodson in the first round. At the Ultimate Fighter finale. That is a fact.
Was that at 135 or 125?
Further research will prove it's unknown at this time.
Okay, because I know Dodson, when he first came up, he was at 125, and then he just moved up the bantamweight after he couldn't beat Demetrius Johnson. So...
he was devastated by that fact. So what I really wanted to ask you tonight, and actually this is going to be a good one for both of y'all, is there was a couple trades. I was talking with my friend. He was over a little earlier, and we were talking about a couple trades in the NBA in the past, like 48 hours. And one trade that he asked me about was a lot less interesting than the other one. I heard about
Ben McLemore.
Not that. I heard Carmelo got traded, but that one's the less interesting one to me at this time. The one that I want to ask y'all about is Kawhi Leonard traded to Toronto Raptors in return for DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio Spurs. How y'all feel about
Lee,
that?
I'll let Ronnie go first on that.
Let Ronnie go first. All right, okay. Okay.
All right.
I want to say.
All right, I'm gonna talk about the Melo trade, and then I'm gonna let Ronnie go into the Kawhi. I think the Melo trade. I don't know what Atlanta is doing, but they could have traded Schroeder during the draft. They probably could have got something more than what they're getting from OKC during the draft. I mean, why would you take on Melo's contract and then you gonna waive him? I don't even understand the business behind that. I know they're trying to clear cap space, but how many free agents has Atlanta really ever signed outside of Paul Millsap?
Right. Nobody. They lost a lot.
Yeah. So I don't even understand what they're doing. It's like I think Schroeder, he's going to be a good pickup for OKC because now OKC can actually play Russ off the ball and probably play Schroeder at the one. Russ at the two, and probably have PG at the three. And I think we'll see that lineup probably more often than not next year so that Schroeder can actually initiate offense for the rest of the team instead of Russ being the one to decide who shoots when they shoot. And then you won't see Russ having these 46-shot games. You know, you probably won't see those as much next year. But go ahead, Rodney. Go ahead and talk about this Kawhi trade.
All right, I'll talk about the Melo trade maybe a little bit after. As far as Kawhi DeRozan, I feel like the Spurs won a lot more in this trade than the Raptors because in this entire offseason, if we're being honest, trade wise. You're trading your franchise player that's very, very sold into being a Toronto Raptor, damn near for life, over someone who not only doesn't really care for playing with them for long term, might leave the next offseason, but it has made it clear that he's not interested or completely committed at all to the Toronto Raptors. Now that's trade wise. Entire off season wise, the Raptors looked horrible because not only did you let go your franchise player, you let go your coach of the year too. You let go your heart and soul of the team. Dwayne Casey, you fired him. DeMar DeRozan, you traded him. You let both of these guys go out of your own free will. And that's trash for nothing. You let those guys go and got back. Nothing.
I don't care if you didn't get
Kawhi Leonard. You got nothing. Why? Because you didn't get a fully committed Kawhi Leonard. We're not even sure if you got a 0.5% committed Kawhi Leonard. Hopefully you got a 25%, 15%, or 10% Kawhi Leonard. But either way, you don't have a Kawhi Leonard that you got traded for. And we don't know what the hell you're going to do after. We're going to have to see. We don't know if you're going to waive him or not. But either way, Kawhi Leonard has made it very, very clear that he wants to be a Laker. Unless you guys pull an OKC Paul George situation that Mayor Paul George convinced, you should stay. Most likely, Kawhi is gone, and he's not all that committed. So
he said Kawhi
was
exactly.
Go ahead.
You said Kawhi wants to be a Laker?
Yes. He's been made that clear.
I didn't even hear
even
about
when
that. Oh my god!
Before LeBron went in there, we was hearing that there were talks of him and LeBron talking together, saying they would be great teammates, and how much they would contribute to LA. And then after LeBron officially signed, Kawhi said his mindset on going to the Lakers has not changed whatsoever. And he wouldn't mind being a teammate with LeBron. So he has made it very clear that he wants to be an L.A. Laker. And even before and after the trade, we've heard Kawhi openly say he has 100% zero interest in being a Toronto Raptor or playing for Toronto. So hopefully y'all better pray that Kawhi decides to change his mind. We're not even sure we got a committed Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. So we're going to see what happens. At, now, on the Spurs side, you guys can groom DeMar DeRozan a lot. Now, he might not have as much of defensive contribution that Kawhi has, but you probably can help him out with that. That, and you probably could build around with some of the new talent you guys have. Deontay Murray, Manu Ginobili with guidance. LaMarcus Aldridge needs to step up a little bit more. A few others. Like you, and plus, to top of all odds, you got freaking Greg Popovich, who has the best system in NBA history. So, DeMar DeRozan, despite him being very upset, being traded by the Raptors, he's in good hands. And after he gets a little bit over the Toronto Raptors trade, he'll realize, hold on, I'm with the Spurs right now. Okay, I'm not even in a lose-lose situation right now. So, DeMar will be happy in a little while. The Spurs, they're in good hands right now. It's the Raptors is who is in the bad side of this trade. Now, as far as Melo and the Thunder, I think this helped both parties as far as OKC. Hawks, they like four flat tires. They're not going nowhere. As far as the Thunder, this helped both ways. I need water. Sorry, I'm talking this stuff. This helped both parties with OKC and Melo, because I personally feel like OKC had way too much, not only star power, but ego in that locker room and on the starting lineup for them to be half as successful. Despite whether or not they all showed up in the postseason, you've seen it. Paul George, he was getting the playoff P nickname. Russell Westbrook, still getting triple doubles. Melo, he made it clear he did not want to get off the bench, but he's better contributing in the starting lineup. Half of that is him not really doing well on the court. Half is not him getting the ball as much. But either way, Melo is the type of player that needs the ball 35, 45, maybe 50% of the time compared to other star players. And you got point guards like Russell Westbrook, despite him averaging triple doubles, he's still getting like 30, 40 points a game. Paul George, 25, 30, maybe 40 points a game. It's rough to get three of those when a lot of those guys don't really pass too much. That's why, personally, I've been saying for a long time, Melo should have went to the Rockets, because you compare those the guards of the Thunder with Russell and Paul George to the Rockets and James Harden. James and Paul and Chris Paul are more likely to pass to Melo than Russell and Paul George, especially Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is a pass-first point guard. Even though we're in the era where the Steph Currys, the Russell Westbrooks, the John Wall, and the Derrick Rosens rule the world, pure point guards, we talking about Chris Paul. We talking about Kevin Nash. We talking about Jason Kidd, etc. But in this era, Chris Paul most likely, because Chris Paul he would dish it to players first before anything else. And when the players are off, if Melo's off, if James Harden is off, Chris Paul is quick to take over and take care of business. You saw that in the playoffs, and you see the huge difference when James Harden controlled the tempo and when Chris Paul controlled the tempo. But either way, both of them will pass the ball first, are more likely to pass the ball than Paul George and Russell Westbrook. And plus, he could also be more of a help because Trevor Ariza is gone now. But go ahead, Lee. What you want to do? I heard you.
Yeah, I think Melo, I think if he goes to Houston, he's about winning. I think if he goes to Miami, he's about his stats. And I think we'll find out a lot about Melo depending on which team he goes to. I'd rather Melo go to Houston because he doesn't want to post up anymore. And without his post up game, basically he's just a catch and shoot guy. And that's what Houston runs, catch and shoot. And plus he wants to start, so he'll probably start at the three. But I think what everybody missing is him and Mike D'Antoni don't have the greatest relationship. And I think I think Mike D'Antoni is going to be the one to make the final call. So it's actually going to be Mike D'Antoni's call on whether or not Melo joined Houston or not. But
I forgot all about that.
I think with Kawhi going to Toronto, I think Toronto is going to be better than what people think, man. I think Kawhi is going to come out this year and ball. And he's still going to leave, but he has to come out and ball. Because if he comes back and he's, like, half-hearted playing and, you know, he's not all the way in it, teams going to be weary of him, man. They're going to think, you know, maybe his heart ain't all the way in the basketball, you know. And maybe he did lay it down for San Antonio, you know. So I think with Danny Green, you'll have Danny Green at the two.
Oh, yeah.
Lowry at
two.
The one.
Yeah.
And you'll have Kawhi at the three. You'll have Serge Ibaka at the four. And you'll have Valanciunas at the five. And I think their starting five matches up against any starting five in the East. And one thing about it is Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, they're not going to forget how to play defense. So you could basically say those two guys are going to hold down the two guys they guard. And I think Toronto is going to be better than what people think. I think they're going to finish probably the third best team in the East. I think they'll finish behind Boston and Philly. Probably be Boston, Philly, Toronto, and then Milwaukee probably finish fourth. And then you just throw the rest of the East in as you please. I think DeMar DeRozan should be – I'm not even going to talk about him on the Spurs. I'm going to talk about loyalty now.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball players and football players need to stop being loyal to teams. Teams are never loyal to players. When a player leaves to go, like when LeBron left to go to Miami, they were burning his jersey and stuff.
Back.
You know, okay, I get it. You upset. But sometimes the player got to do what's best for them in their career. And LeBron did what was best for his career. But then,
and sometimes
fans want to get
wise too.
Yeah. Yeah, but then fans don't get mad at management when they trade players that want to be on the team. DeMar DeRozan could have went to the Lakers when he was a free agent. But he decided to ride it out with Toronto. Vince Carter left Toronto. Tracy McGrady left Toronto. Chris Bosh left Toronto. Come on, man. Then they sat there and told the man, face to face, we're not going to trade you. And then a week later, you trade him. I think DeMar, he'll get over it, especially when he get into Popovich's system. And realize that, you know, Popovich is going to make him a better player. He might not be an all-star West, you know, like he was in the East, but he's going to be a better player. I think the Spurs probably, you know, with DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl, I think the Spurs will probably be anywhere between the 5th and 8th seed. They'll probably still make the playoffs only because of system and coaching. It won't because of the superstar performances from DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. I think they both will have to play out of their head every night just for the Spurs to be competitive. But the Spurs always play good defense. So DeMar is definitely going to have to improve on that end of the floor. But I think the bottom line of this trade is Toronto, if Kawhi doesn't re-sign, they automatically go into automatic rebuild mode because
– yeah.
Lowry is going to be upset because you traded – because Lowry is going to be upset because you traded DeMar DeRozan. And then Kawhi walks. And then what else you got? You have nothing else but Lowry. So then you basically going to have to trade Lowry because he ain't going to want to be there no more. So basically you're going to rebuild. You're going to rebuild
else
mode.
Players.
So basically you should
have
basically rolled
it out. Bench too. That's the crazy part about it. They have a great bench.
So they should,
despite them getting swept
they
in the playoffs with LeBron, they have a great team.
Yo, guys, we got a caller on the line right now. I'm about to jump into the call, see what's going on. Might want to chime in on this thing.
Let's go.
Yo. Hey, what's going on, bro?
How you doing, Keys?
What's going on, brother? We're just talking about the Kawhi Leonard trade right now to Toronto. I was asking you guys how they felt about it.
Yo, who am I talking to, bro? Who am I talking to?
It's Rodney, man. It's Rodney. Air Rod.
Rodney. Good shit, Rodney. All right. So
hey,
what
man,
exactly?
Give me an air hug real quick, man. It's been a while.
Give you a what?
Give me an air hug, bro. It's been a minute.
Bro, big air hug. Big over the phone
fact,
air
man.
Hug, bro.
My man, last time we talked, I killed you in a battle. Continue.
Yeah, we just talking about.
Whoa.
I'm slaying, though. You know I got you.
Right. Hey, Rod, we were just talking about Kawhi to Toronto. I was asking these guys how they felt about the trade.
What specifically are we going to talk about within the trade, though? I need, like,
I mean, where we kind of went with it was, like, which side made out better, you know, because San Antonio getting DeRozan or Toronto getting Kawhi, because Rodney was saying they might not get 100% Kawhi. You know, is he even motivated to play in Toronto because he wants to be a Laker?
Yeah, bro, but I think at the end of the day, I've never seen a basketball player. I've never, ever seen a competitive basketball player like Kawhi get on the court and not give 100% during a basketball game. Like, I mean, like,
so that's how you get hurt
on a consistent basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, NBA players try for who may out better. That's a tough question. I think it was a really good trade for both teams, honestly. A few things happened. Raptors become a clear contender. All right, honestly. Kawhi and Lowry, Kawhi, Lowry, and they have Danny Green out too. Don't think they're going to get him in trade.
Serge Ibaka and Valanciunas. That's their starting five.
And they have a great bench.
Bro. So we're talking an elite team, okay, in the Raptors. In fact, Roddy, the Raptors bench outshined the starters like much of last season. And that's not even what we're talking about right now. So the Raptors are a contender in the East. The Spurs have a great scorer in DeMar, okay? Granted, he's generally a volume scorer, but if you think about it, LaMarcus Aldridge is an isolation scorer himself, right? It's not like he's a big off-ball player. But Pop makes it work, man. Popovich really does make it work. And Popovich could prove a point here to Kawhi if he can turn the Spurs back into a contending team. If he picked, you know, he got DeMar DeRozan, but traded Kawhi, it's almost like, yo, if I can do this with DeMar, Kawhi, what were you bitching for? You know what I'm saying? So I think
all right.
Teams have a bigger chip on your shoulder.
I got a question for you, man. I got a question for you. You said Pop turning the Spurs into a contending team without Kawhi. Do you really think the Spurs? I mean, what's contending? Is contending means making the playoffs? Is contending means making the Western Conference Finals? Or is contending means winning
the
championship?
Sure. I mean, I would say like winning a playoff series. Okay. Maybe just like being a playoff top, you know, being a top 8 team. Better than they were with Kawhi. Because, like, at the end of the day, that's got to be Popovich's goal going into it. I'm going to prove that I can.
Well,
get
Kawhi got them to the Western Conference Finals, though. Kawhi got them to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, and then, you know, he messed
his
ankle up.
And could have won.
Bro, I'm talking
about
Kawhi had a much better team around him, right? I mean, yes.
Okay, I got that. I'm with you.
So, I mean, it's relative. I'm just saying, if he can get DeMar, this is a complete tangent, man. We're way off topic. But if he can show that DeMar can be valuable in his system, similar to how Kawhi was, you know, not exactly, but along those lines, if he can show that, then, and he would never say that this is what he's trying to do, and I don't know his main goal, but is going to be something to look out for, that type of thing. These are the comparisons that are going to start coming out mid-season. People are going to pull up
I totally agree.
In DeMar's stats and be the comparison. So that's
I totally agree. I think what's really going to happen.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Rodney. I think what's really what's really going to show about DeMar DeRozan is if he learns to play defense. If Pop can get him to play some defense, that's where you will know that DeMar DeRozan has bought in to playing for the Spurs and the Spurs system. If DeMar doesn't improve defensively, it's not going to work out because the Spurs pride themselves on playing defense. I think he'll still get between 20 to 25 a game. I think Aldridge will probably be between 20 to 25. I think Patty Mills will be a spark plug coming off the bench. But you're going to need DeJounte Murray. Yeah, you're going to need him to play great. You're going to need Pau Gasol to be a veteran. You're going to need Aaron Baines to probably be better than he played last year. I think the Spurs will finish between the 5th and 8th seed. I think Toronto will finish top 3 in the East. I think Toronto will be a better team than the Spurs only because of Toronto's bench. But Toronto also has a rookie coach.
And coaching do play
a part in NBA games. Go ahead, Rodney.
And Rod, but before I get to my point, that's another thing that got a problem with the Raptors this offseason. You let go both the heart and soul of the Raptors. Mm-hmm. You let go your franchise player and your coach. But just to make it clear real quick, I'm not saying that the Raptors have zero chance now. Trust me. They still have a really good team. They have a great bench. The star lounge on paper seems great, but it all depends on Kawhi. Now, Kawhi probably will do good and step up, but it depends on him if he's really, really fully committed. And by fully committed, I mean doing whatever he can to at least take this into a championship. And they have a huge chance. If somehow the Cavs make it to the finals again, I'm going to Toronto and I'm fighting these niggas myself. So there's no way in the world y'all can let the Cleveland Cavaliers make it to the finals again for the 5th straight season. LeBron's in the West.
Okay.
The biggest player you guys
pump
have
your brakes, Ronnie. Pump your brakes, man. Cleveland might not even make the playoffs, man.
That's my point, Lee. There's no way in the world. This guy, you
just
can't make it to the finals. Anybody got
to think LeBron just had.
What Cleveland?
LeBron, in my man Key's words, he beats Toronto with mental warfare. Soon as they see LeBron on the court, their booty cheeks get tight, and they don't know what to do, man. It's just LeBron had that thing on them, man. Ain't no other way to describe it. It's like they see LeBron, they're like, whoa.
Go ahead, Ross.
You cannot say their booty cheeks getting tight is the only way to describe it, because I'll tell you what, that is not the only way to describe it, my guy. That's fucking hilarious. So,
Lee, the crazy part about this whole thing, I kept telling my dad, because I'm a huge LeBron fan. I'm not staying, but I'm a huge LeBron fan. I kept telling my dad, dog, I don't see LeBron make it to the finals. Like, you already had a tough time with the Pacers. You had to score 46 in game 2 to win by 3 points, and you had to get you got triple doubles to lose by 18 in game 1, and you went in game 7. There was no way you guys were going to pass the Raptors. A sweep? You can't even win one game? That shot out of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The absolute
out
of me.
But Ronnie, you got to look at it. You're looking at it wrong, dog. Play a whole different style of ball than Toronto. The Pacers got gritty guys. They got they play more of a slow paced game. They play a lot of isolation basketball on the offensive end, but they play kind of like a smothering defense where they don't really let you drive. But
Lee,
Toronto,
it's not
when they lost game one, But when they lost game one, everybody and their mama knew it was over, dog.
But look, Lee, it's not even about the style of play in different teams. You compare the Cavaliers on paper to Toronto Raptors that season on paper. Toronto Raptors was number one in the East with Coach of the Year. The debatable six men of the year with a couple guys on there. You got a great bench. You got a shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan, that's in great conversations. He's stepping up a lot better this season compared to last season and the postseason. You got Jonas. You got Serge, the shot blocker. Serge Ibaka. And you guys can't win one game. All you got to do is contain LeBron.
Me.
And y'all can't contain LeBron.
Okay, repeat after me. Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
Mental warfare.
Mental warfare.
They lost it to LeBron, dog.
That is trash. There's no way. There is absolutely no way. Mental warfare got to be the worst case of losing this scenario. All you had to do was contain LeBron. All right, LeBron can score 30. We can't let Gerald Smith score 16. We can't let Kyle Korver score 20 with six for six threes. We can't let Tristan Thompson get like six rebounds when Steph Curry's out rebounding him. We can't let these guys get 15. And plus, top it all off, you got the Coach of the Year going against a coach that's only known for getting stuff on by Allen Iverson. No shots to Tyronn Lue, but he's not that great of a coach. It's Coach LeBron over there. How in the blue hell do you lose and not only lose, but get swept in that scenario? If all y'all can see me and my reaction or how I'm talking right now, I'm over here standing weirdly rocking this couch out of anger. And I'm rooting for LeBron.
You sound like Keys right now. You sound like Keys right now. You sound like Keys, man.
I was so disappointed.
You all the way
turned. I wasn't even rooting for the Raptors. I was so disappointed. I'm not even rooting for the Raptors. I wasn't even rooting for them. I was disappointed in them because you guys had the overall package that team would dream of. Not only that, do you have a pretty solid star lineup, you have a solid bench where a lot of these other teams and these other stands don't understand. It's not always about the star players. You got to have a great role player team. That's what made the Lakers great back then with Kobe and Shaq. That's what made the Miami Heat great. It wasn't just about the big three with LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh. Even before Ray Allen was there, you had Mario Chambers. You had Norris Cole. You had UD. A few others. You had Chris Anderson catching rebounds.
Mike Miller. Miller, Shane Battier.
There you go. Talk
yeah,
about
Battier.
It.
Jermaine Jones.
Point. You got the full package in a team that you would dream of. And you lose to one man and our mental warfare? That is the worst loss in mental warfare in the history of life. Not basketball, not sports, life. Absolute life. L-I-F-E. Life. I've been to school. L-I-F-E. Lee, spell it with me. L-I-F-E.
There is
no way. Thank you, Lee. Thank you. Now you're seeing the light, my brother. Seeing the light. I'm over here flying over here out of anger. This is crazy.
Man,
this
is funny,
absolutely
man.
Crazy. Oh, my goodness.
So Rodney,
all right, look, I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
So Rodney, you think that – Rodney, you think somebody somewhere – went on a similar rant as you just did, and that kind of played a part in – yeah, somebody somewhere went on a rant as you just did, and that played a part in them firing Dwayne Casey after that season.
That shouldn't, because at the end of the day, it's the coaches are on there going against LeBron. It's one – the coach can't do everything. It's one thing to set up a great system. It's another thing for you to set it up and for them – to go execute the system in perfect fashion. He didn't execute the system in any type of fashion. Y'all were moonwalking letting LeBron dunk.
Y'all could have
basically what Toronto's saying. Basically what Toronto's saying is Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan are the reason
DeMar
they lost to the Cavs. And that's what I get out of it, because you fire the coach and you trade your star player.
Right.
And it's like,
right. And he won
so,
coach of the year.
I mean, to me,
seat. You can grab him on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disrespectful.
But,
the nerve, the audacity.
Go ahead, Keys, man. What else we got?
So.
Go ahead, Keys, so, man. I got mad. Go ahead.
So
man, drink some water, man.
You think I'm not drinking water?
You think I'm not? Lee?
I think you was talking to
nope.
Him. I had to get that off.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sweating over here. Go ahead, Keith.
He was talking to Rodney right there, but you know what? I drank some water on his behalf because I'm kind of exhausted just having listened to him. So, and it's not you was going in. No, I feel
that
hyped,
was the greatest rant on our show to date.
Yeah, man, that should be played back on Sway or something like that. That was just you got to get like a couple golden mics for that. Oh my God!
Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all. Thank
like
y'all.
We need that clip when you was like. When you was like, the only thing he was known for getting stepped on by Allen Iverson.
Yes.
That was the highlight. That might have been my favorite part.
I wouldn't have brought that up if he was a good coach. You're not. You don't know how to use your shooters with Kyle Korver. You let Rodney Hood ride on the bench for almost the entire postseason. You're barely setting up picks for Kyle Korver. You got Kevin Love standing at the 3-point line for 49 minutes. Not even 48, 49. You got LeBron having to play 48 minutes of every single game in every single 82 games of the regular season and the playoffs, which is more. LeBron has to play with a broken hand and hide it until game 4. And somehow y'all let one man with a coach that's known for getting stepped over. With a team that have him on the weed, sweep. Not even one game. Y'all did better than the last season, without that much great package. Y'all at least won 2 games in Cleveland, and I predicted y'all to win 2 games. Thank y'all. Y'all disappointed me this series. I wasn't even rooting for y'all. All right, I'm done. 15.
All right,
yeah,
Keith,
man.
What else you got, man?
So,
who else, man?
I mean, I had another good question for Roz, but I think Rodney just barred him off the phone.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah, you just barred Roz off the phone, bro. Yeah, Roz.
My bad,
Roz. Got him out of here, bro. My God,
yo,
that was like
that
third
dog.
Round.
I gotta apologize. I gotta give him another air hug.
Yeah, man. I don't know. We'll see if he can make it.
Mad.
So,
get that off, man. I'm sorry.
Because the big question I wanted to ask, Raz actually already asked Rodney. We talked about that on a previous show, so I ain't going to bring that up. But I'll just say this, is that I do feel like, and this is still on the basketball thing, is I do feel like that LeBron would have at least one more ring right now. He would have at least one more championship if it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard and the role he played on the Spurs team. What was it, like 2010, around that? No, 2012? You know when they had like the 2 or 3 back-to-back,
oh.
You know, the Heat played the Spurs. It was like at least 2 years in a row.
Nah, man. Nah.
That was 2013.
Nah.
That was 2013,
man. San Antonio beat them boys so bad every game.
Yeah.
That's still like
yeah.
the greatest margin of defeat per game in finals history.
That's right.
So nah, I think that his he will have one more ring if Kevin Love and Kyrie didn't get hurt that first series against
Facts.
Golden State. I think
well, because,
I, and
well, they still
I think
won
that's
two
the
games.
One.
They still won 2 games that series
because they still won 2
Without
games.
Them.
So, but I think against the Spurs that year, they were not going to beat the Spurs, man. The Spurs are already
yeah.
mad because they let the championship slide between their fingers the year before. And that next year, that was their only mission, was to play Miami mm-hmm. again. And they blew them out almost every game.
Well, I know about that year. I'm talking about, like, overall, I thought that Kawhi was probably – he was such a big factor – for the Spurs at that time because he was one of the only guys out there that could actually guard LeBron.
But it really wasn't the defense, though. The Spurs' offense was so potent that year, man. It was like every time Miami would miss a shot, it was like the Spurs would come down and score. It was like Miami couldn't miss shots or turn the ball over against the Spurs. I mean, even I think Danny Green hit, the most threes in finals history in that series?
He broke Ray Allen's record.
Yeah, and it was, man, I'm telling you, man, the Spurs offense, they were not going to be denied that year against Miami, man. That was their only mission.
Lee.
Was to get revenge against for losing the year before, yeah.
Lee, you seeing my point? You seeing my point as far as coaching and players? It's only so much you can do to set up the perfect foundation and the perfect blueprint as the coach, but it's up to the players to execute it. Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches in the game of basketball. Scratch that. In the game of sports history. Don't even at me. Don't debate me. In sports history. You got guys like fundamentals. Manu, Tony. You got those guys that I'm just adding exclamations to it. I'm agreeing with you. But my point
is
you gotta have players to help execute your blueprint. They don't execute your blueprint, the mission's failed. It's like a house. You can make and draw the blueprint all you want. If the architects, if the builders don't structure the walls right, structure the ceiling right, the building looks trash. And somehow, because the structure is so weak, it's going to fall down soon.
Yeah,
you
but
compare
that,
that
but
to
see, that's
the
point
to the
I was
freaking Raptors losing.
Yeah.
What can you do?
But that's the point I was making with Toronto. I think Toronto going to have a good squad this year, but they got a rookie coach. And it's going to be times where him being a rookie coach is actually going to show, especially when he goes against quality coaches like Brad Stevens, you know, the coach of Philadelphia. When he go against coaches out west, it's going to be like
Brett Brown.
All right, what adjustments do you make? What play do you draw up? You know, what kind of defensive adjustments do you make?
You can't always just go on star power, too. You can't always go on star power.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Just like with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, he realized that JaVale McGee should have been playing. Once they put JaVale McGee in the series against Houston, they kind of like found their little footing a little bit because JaVale can roll. He can block shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll show
mm-hmm.
on the pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the sort of move that a lot of people didn't really notice during the finals. I mean, during the Western Conference Finals. So, man, coaching, it can be overlooked because of superstar players, but it does play a role, man. I mean, Phil Jackson is probably one of the most overhyped coaches ever. Because he always had good players on his team, but at the same time, Phil understood, you know, when to call a timeout, when not to call a timeout, how to get his players roused up, how to calm the team down, stuff like that. And that's just little mm-hmm. stuff in coaching that you just have to realize, you know, how to get your team going, how to settle your team down. It's going to be nice where the ball just don't go on the hoop. It's going to be those
right.
nights.
And you
still got to play. And that's
threes.
Where coaching comes in. Yeah.
Right. And Lee,
right,
you had another point. Oh, it's time to go.
Go ahead. No,
go ahead. Go ahead, bro. It's cool. Finish what you're saying.
And you're adding another point because these freaking stands don't understand. Because I seen some Laker fan that was saying, yo, trade for Kawhi when the Spurs are asking for both Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hill, along with a couple of other picks. It's like, yo,
nope, can't do it. That's too much.
It's not just about y'all realize it's not just about the star players. Y'all want to let go all those pieces for one man. For one man. Even though Kawhi Leonard is great offensively and defensively, you need great role players, too. You need a great backup foundation, too. Brandon Ingram,
Yeah,
clutch.
Because you lose all your depth.
Kyle Kuzma.
Because you lose your depth when you trade your car. Yeah.
And he's a young buck.
Then you don't have no bench. So, if you give up three guys, you have no bench.
Right.
It's like.
Exactly.
It's like, and then they wasn't, and then they didn't want to give us nobody else. They probably would have threw Danny Green in, but the Lakers didn't want to pay Danny Green that money, so we would have just took him anyway. But I like that Magic didn't do that deal. I think a bad deal is cripples your team. And then the one thing everybody missing is the thing that Lonzo Ball, how he may have sabotaged the trade because he decided to advertise that he was having surgery.
Knee? Yeah.
Yeah, come on, bro. You had all year to get surgery on your knee. And nobody
wait,
knew
whoa,
you
wait,
had a problem with
he
your
been
knee.
Has that? That been happened?
Yeah, he just had it last week.
That happened recently.
Yeah, it happened last week. But he could have had it after the season
was
over. Yeah.
Oh.
But that's just the thing, man. Though. He sabotaged the he could have sabotaged the Lakers trading him when he came out and said that. But you know, man, NBA, man, they free agency and off season definitely trumps the NFL because we know who the players are in the NBA. We basically know all the NBA players by their first name, you know. And I think that's one of the things NFL doesn't do. They don't promote their players the way the NBA does. And plus the NBA, they look at their players as partners, not employees. And once the NFL gets over this petty BS they got going on with the players over the anthem protest, I think they need to work in concert with the players instead of trying to
talk about
tell the players what to do.
Yeah, nah. We ain't about to jump on that screen right there.
I'm just saying that's one of the things about the NBA is that they promote their superstar players. So that's why the offseason is so much fun and so much to talk about, even though we haven't even seen the game yet, because we know who the players are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, man, we went over.
And the amount of money, too.
Yeah. Please,
my bad.
Nah, it's all good, bro. I want to finish off what you're saying. We went over a few minutes. We got into a lot of different stuff tonight. It was pretty dope. We got to talk about the NBA. We got to talk about the UFC a little bit. We talked about the WWE a little bit. Talk about the Extreme Rules. Talk about Roman Reigns, 1,000 matches per year type deal with the WWE. Brock Lesnar being a steroid cheat, overhyped, doing one match per year type garbage.
I hate Brock so much.
We talk about DC being trash. And, so it was good. And Kawhi, so we talk about a lot of things. And it was great. Rodney, come on. Rodney came on. I appreciate you, dog. We had Rise came through. Rodney barred him off the phone. That was Rodney's first time accidentally barring a caller off the phone. It was unintentional. I don't think he set out to do that, but you know, things get passionate and then they get heated sometimes. So he can't control himself. He stopped barring people out. So, anyways, I appreciate it though for you rocking out with us, Rodney. Lee was back from vacationing, so that was dope. Lee, you have any last closing things to say to the people?
Only thing I like to tell the people is, Rodney did give our show the greatest rant to date. I thought it would be Keys, but it actually being Rodney. So, it's all good. We had a good talk. Tonight, if you listen to our show, as you can see, we can talk about basically anything that has to do with sports. I like to say that on this show, we can talk about anything. We can switch up subjects. We can do anything we want. If you want to call in and you want to talk about some stuff outside of what we're talking about, hey, call us up. Let's see what you got. What's on your mind? Tonight is episode, what you say, 48? I don't know anybody that wear, I don't know who wear jersey number 48 or nothing like that, but I'll be 48 next year, January 21st. So just throw that out there.
Happy early birthday.
But
Happy early birthday, man.
Yeah, next year is January, man.
That's
so, Keys, go ahead and wrap us up, dog.
Also, go check out my boy Rodney's channel on YouTube. That show, Stuff Talk Cousin. Go check him out over there. Show him some love.
Yes, sir.
And like Lee said, if you ever want to call in and talk your stuff, I always say this every time, but I don't think people really be taking us seriously, is 917-889-3251. If you want to call up and talk with somebody of mine, it's not what we're currently talking about. You could do – that's the difference. Is like, I feel like other shows are specifically themed to one certain thing. And when they do that, it makes people less attracted. Like, they don't want to call in and because they feel like they might ruin it or, like, throw it off. Or, like, oh, no, these guys might not really be that interested in what I'm going to say or what I'm saying is not desirable. I mean, this show, we don't shy away from any topics, so it's all good. Just know you can call in and rock out with us, and it's fine. And we accept, you know – all business, whatever it is, let's get into it. So, like I said, 917-889-3251. If I said the number too fast, it's always in the description, so you can read it there. The description does not move nearly as fast as my voice, so that's a plus. So we'll see you next time. Everybody be safe, stay positive, keep your head up, keep rocking, keep grinding out, and wake up tomorrow with a purpose on your mind. Up with a goal
like
of mine.
That.
That's probably the best way to go about it.
That's dope.
If you start the day with you know, some intention, even if it's not your goal for the end of the day, but your goal for like an hour from now, from the time that you woke up, you want to be at this point, or you want to have gotten this done, or whatever. You know, I use that kind of goal setting. I've used that kind of goal setting a lot throughout college, and I mean, it's done me pretty damn well so far. I won't brag, but it's got me pretty damn well so far. So, if you use that way through life, I think we'll all be good. I mean, we can all learn from each other. So call up and talk with us. We can teach each other some things. All right, everybody, enjoy yourself. Stay positive. We're rocking out. Keys Real Talk over and out. Shout out to Rodney. Shout out to Rise. Shout out to motherfuckers barring people off the phone. And shout out to Lee surfing out there with the dolphins and whatnot that he was doing. Everybody, Lee and Keys Real Talk over and out. Have a good night. Until next time, we out of here.
Peace.
Easy.